Hello there. Welcome to a brand new episode of the Red, White, and Brown Report podcast, where the weekend promised a lot of excitement, but instead delivered much sadness to the red side of North London. After the win at Man City and a good run of form, even without Alexis Sanchez, Arsenal were in a good place going into the North London derby, but annoyingly enough, the Gunners never really got anything going and lost 2-1. To a really good Tottenham side. This also means that the fight for the top four is very much on. Joining us after a week of hiatus is Aman.
Hi. Things are more in control now. As you know, there was burglary
last week, which is again, yeah, I kind of laughed about it during the last episode, but but I apologize.
When I got home and saw my flat like turned upside down, I was partly amused because there wasn't much to steal from my house, really. They got away with a kind of a half-broken laptop which doesn't work without a charger.
So laptop does not work without a charger? And they just took the laptop and left the charger at home?
Yeah. So, good luck to them. They probably have to spend some money to sell that for any amount of money.
Well, so the weekend kind of started pretty bad with everything that was going around with your apartment. And then obviously Arsenal lost. Tottenham were a much improved side from what we saw back at the Emirates a few months ago. I thought Arsenal kept a good defensive structure throughout. But the biggest problem of us losing 2-1 was Arsenal just couldn't relieve the pressure by keeping the ball when Tottenham's attacks broke down. And we gave the ball immediately right back to Tottenham. I thought that was like our biggest deficiency in the entire game.
Yeah, I agree. I think I don't think you can really single out any player, but the whole team was just very sloppy in keeping possession. We kept giving away the ball every time we got it back. So yeah, it was quite a terrible performance. I don't know what's this with the early kickoffs, because we suffered it the same thing earlier, and again it was an early kickoff 12:45, and again we suffered it.
Hey, I mean, all I'm saying is, if it's an early kickoff for you guys in London, that means it's a super fucking early kickoff for us here at the West Coast. I had to be up at 4:45 a.m. in the bar watching the game. And funny enough, also, I lost my voice because we were karaokeing the night before. I didn't get home until 3 a.m. Basically took a 30-minute nap and then went straight out. So early kickoff, if I have no excuse of showing up at the bar, Arsenal better not have an excuse at showing up.
Maybe it's because of you guys then. Maybe you are at half energy and your waves are not transmitting to the team for the early kickoffs.
Oh, you mean the reiki that's supposed to the positive energy that we emit?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
No, but going
now
back
we know
to
why Arsenal struggles.
No, but anyway, so going back to the game, right? I was a little surprised with Wenger's team selection initially when we brought in Danny Welbeck over Theo Walcott, especially when Theo Walcott, so we know he's a big game player, especially against Spurs. I think he had some 5 goals, 4 assists. And it was an interesting hour from Welbeck. I thought he clearly showed signs of rustiness. Again, I'm not singling out one Danny Welbeck for the loss, but except for that one really, you know, sensational contribution that run past Danny Rose and then pass into Olivier Giroud, I thought he was otherwise kind of a liability, lost the ball way too often. He was neither playing in a winger role, neither playing in a striker role. He was almost like a central midfielder. When he was required to track back, he did track back, won the ball, but didn't keep the ball. What did you think of that?
I wasn't sure about Welbeck's fitness, so it wasn't entirely a surprise to me that he started, because I didn't expect, I was half expecting that Ozil and Theo both cannot start a game. I don't think it's possible to play at least in relatively bigger games both Ozil and Theo, because they are sort of luxury players. Neither of them is particularly strong in defending.
I don't know if you remember those conversations from like maybe a year ago when we signed Ozil. Theo was in and out of injury, but then everyone was looking forward to watch Theo Walcott, Ozil and Santi all play in the same team. So do you think is that still of a luxury, or can they play in the same team?
I think it depends what formation. At that time, we were playing more of a 4-2-3-1 kind of a formation with two defensive midfields, which were very kind of strong in terms of defending. The formation which we have now, I think we have to have at least one winger to track back. If Sanchez is there, then I think you can play possibly both, because Sanchez He's just a workhorse. He just doesn't leave the ball. So maybe you can. But otherwise, I don't think it is possible to play both of them, at least in the big games. And I mean, it could either be Ozil or Theo. I don't think I always has to be that Theo has to be dropped. But because even I think when Ozil was at Madrid, he didn't used to play the 100% of Madrid's games. He used to play about 60-70% of the games and was often kind of kept out in the big derby kind of games because he's a very good player, but you know that he's not going to track back, he's not going to put in a lot of tackles, etc.
Right. I think also part of the reason was when we play with the usual midfield three of Santi Cazorla, Ramsey, and Coquelin, what we've seen in the past few games is all three complement each other very well. Coquelin obviously sitting back, Santi and Ramsey, they take turns in moving forward. Mostly it's Santi taking the load. But with the way yesterday's game went, where Tottenham was pressing very high up the field, winning the tackles, I thought they were phenomenal throughout the game. The energy levels that they brought to the game were just magnificent. From minute 0 to minute 90, everyone, including Bentaleb, including Harry Kane. I mean, there were situations when Harry Kane was pressing the defenders, and you don't expect that from Tottenham sides from the past. I think Pochettino has tried to change that, really gotten their fitness levels up. So they also look fresh. I mean, that's a testament to the two goals that they scored very, very late on too. Giroud was kind of isolated. The few touches that he had, I thought, were good, but at the same time, he wasn't able to hold up because there was no one making those surges past the Tottenham midfield. I can't seem to figure out how the same formation worked maybe the last three games and it didn't work this time. Is it just because of the midfield of Santi, Ramsey, and Coquelin, who all had pretty bad game compared to the
I think
last
so, yeah.
game?
I think although Harry Kane kind of obviously got the goals, but really we lost the game in the midfield. Our three midfielders, Coquelin, Santi, and Ramsey just couldn't cope with their three midfielders, Bentaleb and there were two other guys I can't recall right now. And secondly, I think we also missed either Sanchez or Chamberlain. If we had either one of them, I think it would have really helped. Because both of them can go through players, they can dribble past players, which none of other players can. So I mean, Santi can do it, but Santi was just off color. So Santi not being able to do it, we needed someone who can kind of just go through a couple of players and make those runs, or at least put that sort of fear and not press too hard. So I think we really miss if either Chamberlain or Sanchez were there. I think it would have really helped relieve that pressure because they can just run with the ball.
I think I spoke about this in the previous episode where without Alexis Sanchez, if we had Thomas Rosicky in our team, he had a chance to go past the midfield and the defense with his dribbling capabilities. And I was a little surprised that we started with Ozil and not Thomas Rosicky, knowing that Thomas Rosicky, again, just like Theo Walcott, is a big game player. And he typically performs very well against Spurs. Last year's game was a very good example of that, where he got that one thiker of a goal. And I don't know about you, man, but I thought this game kind of reminded me of last year's fixture when we went ahead to that 1-0 goal very early on. Arsenal basically just sat back after opening the scoring, and then we had to deal with a rather less clinical Tottenham side. I think we had Adebayor and Soldado to handle, but that was easy. I thought there
Yeah,
were a
I
lot of
think.
similarities between the two games, except this time there was Harry Kane, Bentaleb, and last year we didn't.
Partly I agree there was, but I think we were more in control of that game than we were. Like, in this case, there were far more number of shots at our goal than probably there were last year. I don't have the statistics, but at least watching the game, I felt that we were all the time just dealing with one attack after another. Well, last year, I don't think it was that desperate. So it might be, but that's what my feeling was.
Any performances that stood out to you, though, in the game?
I think Monreal more than Monreal is probably the only guy who really stood out to me. He was exceptionally good.
Monreal's been kind of a revelation to the Arsenal defense. He's doing enough to keep Kieran Gibbs out of the team. Which says a lot because Kieran Gibbs himself is extremely good. He was very clinical. We didn't see any attacks go down on Arsenal's left. Him along with the Ozilis, and we know how bad Ozilis were tracking back. I thought he covered that position pretty well. I see a good synergy between Ozil and Monreal moving into the next round of fixtures. But, well, I mean, we did have one goal to cheer about right in minute 10. I just remember, I mean, it was 5 a.m. We had about 30, 40 people in the bar and we just exploded. It was a bunch of drunk people at 5 a.m. who hadn't slept all night and just the energy. And we weren't expecting Danny Welbeck to make that amazing run past Danny Rose. But he crossed it in to Olivier Giroud, and Olivier Giroud almost had a perfect miss it. Ozil was obviously very clinical on that volley. I think there are very few players on the Arsenal team who can finish like that. One is Ozil, and another is probably Alexis Sanchez, who scored a similar goal versus Man City back in the day, back earlier this season. It feels like ages ago, but
yeah, I think, and somewhere I think that's where. When Ozil scored that goal, as you said, there are not too many players in the national team who could have probably converted that. And for all the criticism that people have done of Ozil, it just shows the value of a good player, having a good player in your team, because you never know at what point in time that skill just shines through. You may just have a bad game, but that one moment is what big players are about.
Exactly, and he now has 3 goals in 3 games. You weren't here. You weren't around to talk about that brilliant pass last week. What did you think about that?
Yeah. That was just phenomenal. Yeah, it just came out of nowhere really, because it just happened so quickly. And at least when live, I couldn't really get the grasp the how good the pass was. It just happened in a flash, and thankfully Giroud scored because he almost messed it up.
Right. I remember when I think we were podcasting right after the Man City game, and I asked you about what the difference was between this Arsenal team and all the other games. You said Arsenal had scored first, which allowed us the freedom to sit back and then hit teams on the counter. Same thing happened versus Villa. Same thing happened versus Tottenham. What do you think the difference was this game where we lost?
I think the bigger difference was Santi. In both those games, Santi was superb in relieving the pressure. Every time he caught the ball, he would get it out of the D, he will get it to the forwards very, very quickly, and we didn't lose the ball. While against Tottenham, we just kept losing the ball literally every time. So I think the biggest difference was really that's about Santi's game.
How much was it Arsenal losing the ball and not keeping it versus Tottenham pressing really well?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I don't think, first of all, I don't think... I mean, I enjoy watching the way that Arsenal is playing in these games, because Tottenham is not that good a team that we have to defend for 80 minutes literally. It's okay being compact and defensive, but it's a different thing just completely falling so deep into your D and inviting pressure. So there's always a question mark about, I mean, how bad you are playing or how good the other team is playing. It's all related. So it's difficult to distinguish whether Tottenham pressed well or we kept the position poorly. It's two sides of the same coin. Who knows how it would have changed otherwise.
And
but probably in the first podcast I had mentioned, and we had discussed about it, about Arteta being really good in keeping possession under pressure. And I think yesterday's game is where it would have shown brilliantly if we had Arteta in our team, because he just exceptionally good in just when kind of people press him, he just makes that slight touch here and there and just releases the ball very quickly. And I think we really missed Arteta yesterday.
I thought even Coquelin made a few good tackles. I just think he didn't have the capacity to keep the ball for too long, and he needed someone to pass it to. And there was no one in the team making those runs.
Well, it's hard to say, because like, people were reasonably spread out. So in the last couple of games, Santi does it differently from Arteta. Santi is more like a dribbler and he can get past people and run with the ball. So he wasn't able to do that yesterday. While Arteta is probably more adept at just giving even long pass. So if Ozil, for example, or Welbeck is up if on the lines up further up, he can easily put a diagonal long pass to them, and he would usually be pretty accurate. So I think those are the things which probably Kokla and Ramsey can't do yet.
Yeah,
They
I think the
can.
Arsenal passing was worse than Russell Wilson passing the ball, but so Arsenal weren't able to deal with the high pressing of Harry Kane and the team, but Harry Kane was absolutely phenomenal throughout the game. His hold up play, passing and heading throughout was really, really good. I think he's one in British striker who could change fortunes of England. We saw Roy Hodgson watching the game from the box. I think he's gonna make it on the England squad, obviously, for the next few games. Well, Harry Kane and how Tottenham scored the first goal, it was so appalling just to see absolutely no Arsenal defender on that set piece was tracking the guy who's in the hottest form of his life. How is that possible? Yeah.
I don't know who was marking him. I didn't look closely enough for that. But I think I thought at that time that Ospina was quite at fault because he should have done better with that cross. And I wasn't very happy with Ospina overall in this game.
Oh, you weren't? I thought he had a pretty solid game. In fact, I think I remember tweeting right
No.
after the game that it had it not been for Ospina, it probably would have been, you know, a
Yeah,
3 margin.
I thought he had. He had. I don't think he had a good game. He somehow keeps putting the ball when he saves them. He doesn't catch the ball often enough, or he doesn't kind of get the ball outside of play. Every time he stops it, he puts the back in the danger area, which is how we conceded it. And I don't know. At least one save I remember seemed to me what they call the Hollywood save, which seemed like. Not a regular kind of a save, but he just makes them look somehow more dramatic than they need to be.
One for the cameras.
So, yeah, exactly. So, I'm ho hopefully, I mean, there are good parts to him, but hopefully he will kind of rectify those mistakes.
He definitely had one Chesney moment where I think he was caught with the ball and then slipped right at the end and somehow, like in the last minute, managed to scramble the ball off the touchline,
Yeah,
but
one was that, and another was when he went for the ball. He attacked the ball, but I think Koscielny and he almost collided. But Koscielny luckily got the ball and it went out. But that could have been another potential disaster.
talking about like more optimistic things, Arsenal have a good run of fixtures going in, which obviously should be we play Middlesbrough at home on the in the FA Cup fifth round, which I'm guessing
Yeah,
Arsenal
I'm going
should
for that
win.
game.
Are you? That
Yes,
is
I
pretty
am.
amazing. How did you manage to get the tickets for that game?
Well, they were opening for the Red Members last Monday, so I literally waited till 3 p.m. And then while I was, so when you book the tickets, it kind of put in a queue. While I was waiting in the queue, another friend of mine messaged me that, "Are you going for Borough game?" I said, "I'm waiting in the queue to buy." He said, "I've got 3 tickets." I said, "Oh, brilliant."
So you got
So.
out of the queue. That's awesome.
Yeah.
It's going to be a busy few weeks for Arsenal because they have potentially knockout games. Like the Middlesbrough game is going to be a knockout. Arsenal play Monaco at home on the 25th of February. I think that'll be a pretty fantastic game too. Especially going back into the Champions League mode, which is our only hope for a trophy apart from the FA Cup. But I can't even believe I'm saying hope for a trophy because again, you know, I don't know. It's just the Champions League round of 16. But then we play Everton, QPR, West Ham, Newcastle at home. So I'm guessing until the end of March, we should probably have a good run of fixtures. So that gives us 2 months. And going by how we have players coming back from injury, I think it's pretty justified for us to be slightly optimistic about Arsenal making it in the top four. Obviously, Southampton and Manchester United. Manchester United today, I saw just the highlights of the game, but I was following this thread where a few of my friends were talking about the game. And looks like Man United have just not figured out what formation they're playing, and they've been pretty terrible.
They're talking the results. I was watching the game. I'm so fucking annoyed with these guys. They somehow just managed to get those results in spite of being completely shit. I
Yeah.
don't know how they are managing to just somehow get in that goal at the last minute, something or the other. But they are just terrible. There's absolutely no flow, no fluency, nothing. And somehow nobody's criticizing Di Maria. I mean, Ozil got so much of crap last year for being whatever. Nobody seems to be criticizing Di Maria. Nobody seems to be saying Falcao. What has Falcao done?
Well, I mean, I am for one criticizing Di Maria because he's on my fantasy team. He's been on my team for the last 6 game weeks, and every time I think about it, I'm like, okay, it is probably this game you score. And then I've been giving him those extra chances. I think I've finally had enough. So guess what? Next game week, when I drop him off my team, he's probably going to score a hat trick.
Because I just got him in, so there's
Right.
that
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. So, well, with the Arsenal game, Arsenal can write the defeat off as a normal blip, meaning the season shouldn't spiral because of just losing at White Hart Lane, especially considering the good run of fixtures we have until the end of March. The defensive shape was, you know, pretty good again. I thought it was just the intensity and the passing accuracy that was missing throughout the game, which is something that can be easily rectified, hopefully, in the coming weeks. And that bit of optimism doesn't really ease the immediate pain of the Derby defeat, but there's still some hope. And I think Arsenal can definitely challenge for the top four position. And even potentially, if Man City keep losing the way they are, I think we still have chance to make it into the top three or the top two. Well, on that note, I think we'll be back again next week. Or are we going to do one on Tuesday? We'll figure it out. Likely not,
Exactly.
but I think we'll be back on the weekend to talk about both the Leicester game and also the FA Cup fifth round game versus Middlesbrough. And hopefully we'll have two Arsenal victories to talk about